Thank you, Keisha. I thought you said Reagan Park for a second. I said, Reagan Park, that's not the library, is it? The issue of discussion today, I think, was the question Dennis posed. Is it a new dark age or a new age of civilization? Or essentially, is it a new dark age or is it time for a renaissance? And that's, I think, the fundamental history of our planet as long as humans have been here. And as Lyndon LaRouche knows very well, and I've always admired his work because of his understanding of a very long lineage. There's a lineage, as many of us know, of those humanists, thinkers, the Platonic tradition, let's say, that has always valued the place of man somewhere between angel and animal, whose mission, God-given, is creativity, whose inherent nature as being created in the image of God would be we are creative beings that have a power to uplift emotionally, spiritually, and physically that of ourselves and our fellow man. And it's a generational process that ideally we are progressing historically. And in opposition to that impulse, which I think is innate, but in opposition to that we have a select group that would consider we might call elites or oligarchs or imperialists who believe in the nature of empire, which is to say slavery. And no one likes to really consider what slavery means anymore because we feel like we've gone beyond it. And yet the nature of slavery is money. It's monetarism. See, the empires are always predicated on the value of money as opposed to the value of humans. People will tell you money in our culture now is supreme. If you have money, you can do things. If you have money, you can make a life. And yet they don't recognize the fact that what we're living in is a debt trap. It's been foisted upon us by a financial system that is in opposition to everything that a humanist stands for, because humanists realize that in the world we're living in currently, we young people have no future. We are looking at no prospect of ever emancipating ourselves from the debt slavery that we've inherited. That's the point that we stand at now. So from the point of view of a young person, you could easily say, I'm going to be a pessimist and say we're going into a new dark age and we'll begin to cannibalize ourselves in order to survive. But that's not my belief. Everything begins with ideas. The American Revolution began with ideas. It was a very, very small group of people who achieved the American Revolution. And the American Revolution carries on to this day in the form of the American system. The American system of economics is predicated in the humanist tradition because the American system says the value is not in the money that's owned by bankers or a central bank that's issued to you in debt, and then as a result everything that you create is created as a continuation of that debt. The American system says the value is in what you can create. The value is in the technology that you create to make your life easier, to offer hope to mankind, true hope, not Obama's hope. The actual sense of hope being, for example, dreaming of the stars, dreaming of man's mission to travel the stars, to become intergalactic in our consciousness, to improve our standards of living. Because as anyone who's traveled the world knows, as your standard of living increases, actually your ability to produce things and to acquire increases. So you have to recognize what's essentially happened over the course of the 20th century. We've been sold the notion that by cheapening the costs of production, we're actually enhancing our ability to create, that we are evolving by evolving free trade techniques. This is an essentially British imperialist philosophy. When you go to a school like Princeton University and you take an economics class, they tell you there's Adam Smith's version of free trade, and then in opposition to that, there's Karl Marx's form of communism. Never really telling you that both Smith and Marx are trained by the same British elite. Marx at the British Library in London, and Smith obviously is an agent of the British Empire, notoriously such. So they're creating a false paradigm of free trade versus socialism, communism. And as a result, we're at a point where people look to people of every average mean look around and say, our system has failed. Capitalism has failed. But they don't recognize what was buried was the American system. The American system, if you want to read up on it, I would suggest beginning with Henry Carey and his writings. Because philosophically, spiritually, morally, economically, it's the most rational point of view you can make, which is to say that there's a harmony of interests between all people. See, there's a harmony of interest in the sense that the people that you pay as your laborers, the people that you want to have a decent standard of living, are your consumers. If you go to the policy of free trade, for example, and you drive down the working class's wage standard, for example, and you drive down the standard of living, those people then resort to a debt system, what we call credit, but is essentially a debt system, in order to afford what used to be something that they could afford within their own purchasing power. Now they become debtors in order to afford that. But we say, oh, well, we're making profit. This is the only way we can compete. So what you've created now is a mentality of survival. It's a mentality of animals, essentially, competing for survival as opposed to cooperating. The debt slavery mentality creates the culture in opposition to the classical culture that we're discussing today. Because the debt system mentality, the enslavement of mankind, the bestialization of mankind, turning man into an animal, essentially creates a culture of sensationalism. It creates a culture of desiring instant gratification and instant success. It creates a culture that doesn't have time to appreciate the evolution of work through progress. All good work takes time. All classical culture, classical creation, classical art was predicated on a notion of investment of time to thought, to analyze, to assess. And I'll give you a perfect example. 9/11, at the time of the attack, whoever may have perpetrated it, was considered a tragedy. It wasn't a tragedy. It was a shocking incident. It was a moment of awakening in the American psyche. Regardless of who perpetuated the attack, there was a moment of realizing that we were not alone in the world, that we were part of a global community, that we needed to start recognizing who in truth were our enemies and our friends, and how are we going to elevate the people of the world in a positive sense, as opposed to what becomes now a tragedy. 9/11 becomes a tragedy now, 10 years later, because we use that incident to perpetuate wars that have augmented the amount of bloodshed, chaos, destruction, culturally and internally, as much here as abroad. That's the tragedy of 9/11. We've come to the end of our history. The moment when Obama allowed for the assassination of American citizens, regardless of on foreign soil or domestic, the moment that he executed that authority, we ended our history as Americans. Because the Constitution that provides protection for a due process, that same due process that we honor in every classical conception of politics, of economics, of living, was abrogated. It was violated and destroyed. The fact that the FBI, director of the FBI can be asked now by a congressional committee whether the FBI has, or the U.S. government has the right to assassinate American citizens on U.S. soil, and he can't give an answer, shows you their disrespect for humanity. Not to say that America is the only country in the world, not to say that we are necessarily the shining pillar on the hill, but to say that what we honored, what our founding fathers honored, in the system of the Constitution, giving a balance of powers between the executive, legislative, and the judiciary branches, with the conception of a republic being predicated on the people, was lost. The American people have forsaken their right. They've given it up without second thought. Last year, I did a little piece called Impeach Obama 2012, which went viral through Alex Jones and with the support of Dennis Speed here. And it was only a 10-minute piece without malice, not intended as malice, simply intended to elucidate certain points that Obama had violated constitutionally that deserved attention and potentially impeachment. And by the way, people know that impeachment doesn't mean removal of the president. It simply means you have to take accountability and responsibility. But rather than this video gaining millions of viewers, as I'm sure Lady Gaga's last video did, this video gained less than 500,000 viewers. You might say we're in the new dark age. That's what it would look like statistically. But so long as the idea of the American Republic exists, so long as the ideas enshrined in our Constitution, which is, remember, the preface of the Constitution says that Congress is there for the general welfare, for the benefit of the general welfare. That principle is a humanistic principle. So long as we remember our fundamental humanity, so long as we stop to reflect upon the consequence of our actions, there is still hope for this country. Because, as I said, it's not that America is the exceptional country, as Madeleine Albright tried to claim us, as though we were exempt from international, not law necessarily, but from exempt from any kind of moral repercussion. No, but if we don't take that seriously insofar as we don't recognize that we are an exemplar by our actions, we can never attain again that heroic status which we had a moment of achieving from the 40s, 50s, and 60s until the assassination of Kennedy, both Kennedy brothers, and Martin Luther King. You know, King is a wonderful example of how we've lost our moral compass, because it's great that we honor him. Recently, for example, we celebrate Martin Luther King Day. But rather than focusing on the fact that this man went from being a leader of civil rights to a motivator of the anti-imperialist agenda here, of a man who came out saying, I can no longer stand simply for social inequality at home, so long as my government is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. Rather than remembering him in that light, we limit him to being someone who is only in favor of empowering African Americans to have the right to vote and the equality of races. So you see, we've even diminished Martin Luther King's tremendous efforts to put an end to this militarist imperial mentality. That's why we're at this moment. That's why we're asking ourselves this question. Is this a new dark age? Are we going to forget everything that was given to us by our ancestors, everything that creatively has inspired us as human beings to compel us to go forward, to cooperate, to build together? Or are we going to forget that? Or are we going to remember it and utilize those ideas that are passed down generationally to inspire our new renaissance? Because we are at that moment. This is the moment now. There's no turning back. There's no saying 4 years from now, well, we should have gone the other way. American citizens will be assassinated. People will be gunned down in the streets, as we see with these, you know, these horrible massacres. But rather than asking ourselves, why is this happening? What sickness is in our society? What sickness is in our government, in ourselves? Because we are our government. We, the people, are the government of the United States. Until we recognize that fact, we will continue in our ignorance of sensationalist mentality, of animalistic behavior, of worshiping a culture of sex, violence, and death, which does imperil the future of my generation as we stand at this turning point. So I leave you more with a positive note of saying, remember where we come from, remember who we are, so that we can take back our future. We're not going to forget. This will not become a dark age. It will become an age of illumination. Thank you.